All right, so what we've done is starting last week in our series on taking it personally, we've been talking about sharing the gospel personally. And so we shifted last week to the discipleship aspect of that. And so we're going to spend several weeks talking about different parts of the importance of a church being a discipling church, okay? So, with that in mind, though, did anybody, because we've been sharing these stories, anybody had a chance this week to share the gospel with somebody or give an invitation to church, something like that? Obviously, we're going to hear a little bit later on from Hannah and Laura Lee about their trip, so we've got some pictures. You don't have to give a speech or anything, but Hannah does have to give a speech. I was looking at Laura Lee when I said you didn't have to give a speech, but you got to just say a word. And we're looking forward to that. We had a really awesome testimony this week. And Deborah's not here, but I'll share this story with you. She met somebody through her work at the hospital who was really going through I wish I could tell you all the details, but you can't. But who's going through a really, really difficult time in his life. And she just made a simple statement to this man that was, you really need God in your life. And that's what she said. And she gave him a track. It had church information on it. And simply she said, you know, if you ever need to talk or you ever have any questions, please call us, let us know. Fast forward to one night forward on Thursday night. And Rachel's working on that same floor, didn't have the same patient. But I get a call from Rachel. So this is what happened. The Lord had been working in this man's heart. And that night, he was asking to talk to a Baptist minister. And so the hospital, the staff there, they don't know who to call. So they get on the switchboard just to find some random Baptist preacher. But they can't find any. They couldn't find anybody at the time. And they don't know what's going on. In fact, they're ready to put the guy on suicide watch because he's asking for a minister. And so what happens is I get a call from Rachel, hey, can you visit this guy? And it turns out that my dad was actually going to Bennington that night. And so he got saved that night. And he may have already been saved, actually, from people witnessing to him in the past and him reading the tract. But it's kind of an unspoken request, but pray for him. He's in a very, very difficult situation, extremely difficult, and he needs the grace of God. But that's how it works, right? I mean, the Lord, some plant the seed, some water, the Lord, God gives the increase. But just wonderful, wonderful thing to happen this week. So I didn't have anything like quite that amazing happen, but I did get to give out some tracts and things like that just in my journeys around town yesterday, which was great. Anybody else had a chance this week to share share the gospel with someone? Anybody at all have a testimony like that to share? Donna. Okay. Right. Right. And there's a lot of churches like that. You can believe kind of whatever, and we're just a little get together. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So we'll pray for her as well. Pat. Okay. Great. Somebody else. Yes, sir. Okay. Good. we should pray for him too. You know, there's a lot of people. I was listening. I heard a story yesterday from some friends that were visiting from out of town, and they're working with. They have friends near where they live, and they're going through family troubles, and but they've been really burned by a church experience that they've had, like really, really let down by a church. And so there, you'll meet people like that, which actually lends itself to the kinds of things that we're talking about in this. So when we're talking about discipleship, as we think about taking it personally, where the importance, obviously, of getting the gospel, but that's part of the Great Commission. Then people have to be grounded in the faith. They have to grow. We know that happens through teaching, through preaching, through instruction, but there is a really important practical element, and that's what we're talking about in these weeks. It's good if you're able to teach people the Bible and you're good. That's important. I'm all for that. But one of the most important aspects to discipleship and people growing in their faith in a local church is just that the church be healthy, right? And just that the church takes seriously the role that we have in discipling others and helping them in their faith. So both whether it's people that have just come to know the Lord or people that do know the Lord, but they've just been turned off by church experiences, it's really important that they find something different and they come to a Bible-believing church, right? So who remembers then what we talked about last week? I remember each week we're going to talk about, as we think about discipleship as a church body, each week we're going to talk about the importance of something. Last week, do you remember what it was? The importance of what? Anybody? Remember what where we're going with this whole thing? I know it's talked about different types of people. We talked about the poor. We talked about the unloved sometimes. So we talked about the importance of compassion. You were just going to say it, but you didn't. So how do we know? No. The importance of compassion. And simply, if you weren't here last week, all of these lessons are kind of building on each other. So some of you that may not have been here, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the audio or watch the video of the message last week. But the importance of compassion and just personally being responsible that we should have compassion for the whole world. And really through our missions program, that's what we do. We show compassion. But then really, how affected are we by, there's a world out there that we send other people to show our compassion to. But we have a responsibility. There are people that we directly have responsibility for. Those people that are within our arm's reach, within our day-to-day life, within the places that we go, there are people that we're called to have compassion to. And so we looked at all different types of people that the Bible specifically calls us to be compassionate to. We looked at the poor. We looked at the sick. We looked at widows and orphans. We looked at children. And there were a few other groups of people that we looked at that it's important that we keep the mindset we are here to have compassion. This week, though, I want to do something a little bit different. And I want to go to chapter 2 of Acts, and I want to talk today about the importance of hospitality, the importance of hospitality in regards to discipleship. People say, well, discipleship, isn't that, you know, Bible studies and lessons? And yeah, it is that, but without the practical component, without the relational component, then there is no discipleship that happens in a local church. So today's lesson is the importance of hospitality. Just to give you an idea where we're headed, next week we're going to talk about the importance of friendship in discipleship. So all these things are going to build. Again, if you miss any of them, I'd encourage you to go back and listen and get caught up with us. But go to Acts chapter number 2, and I want you to begin with me in verse number 41. I actually gave this lesson probably within the last year on a Wednesday night, but I want to share it with this group in this context as well. So some of you may remember a few of the things that we're going to talk about. But it says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Can you imagine being a part of that movement that took place? This is the beginning of the local church. 3,000 souls. Now look at verse number 42, and we're going to see how the church is described. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were, what's it say? And had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord, so they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Skip over now to chapter number 4 and look at verse 32. We're going to come back and spend most of our time in chapter 2, but look at chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, which by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. I love that name, by the way, Barnabas. A Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see these two pictures in both of these passages. Go back to Acts chapter 2, and we'll spend our time here. But you see that there's a daily continuance together, and the emphasis on the church here being together. Let me ask you a couple of questions as we get started and we think about the topic this morning. A couple of questions. One, as the early church began, if you paid attention, how much has the church grown? How many people grew here? 3,000, right? So it's a very, very large congregation. Where did the church meet? Huh? They met at the temple. This is amazing when you think about it, because the temple is where the Jewish worship is taking place, and that's where the scribes and the Pharisees, that's where they spend all their time, and the church just, they're like, well, we're going to meet. I mean, they were Jewish people, right? And Jesus is their Messiah. And they just go right into the temple and they start having gatherings in the temple. And they are regularly meeting in the temple. And every day, I mean, every single day, there's people gathered at the temple. The apostles are teaching. People are getting saved. Every day, people are adding to the church. You'll also notice in what we saw there, and I'll read it to you in chapter number 4, it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. So here's one thing. As we talk about this idea of hospitality and relational discipleship, what Donna said actually is really important. There are churches where people are of one accord, and they have a commonality, and there's fellowship of some sort, but there's no power of God there. You know what I mean? And then there are other churches that have doctrine and truth, but there's no fellowship and no unity among the believers. But both components are vitally important. So we're not just talking about we're not just talking about a social club kind of a thing. In both of these instances, there is a powerful move of God. The Holy Spirit of God is moving. And there's strong preaching, and there's people coming to know the Lord. So there's the power of God that's present. But among that, what that creates in the heart of people, when God is at work in people's hearts, then there is a coming together of God's people. So, where did the church meet? Correct, in the temple. But where else did the church meet? Yeah. It says they continued daily with one accord in the temple and from house to house. But what were they doing house to house? What were they doing? They were eating. They were eating. So everybody, people have taken these verses and used it to say all kinds of things, okay? You know, some people say that you look at these verses, that means that churches today need to have home groups that meet and have organized classes that meet in people's homes. And I'm okay with that. If people want to do that, I have no problem with that. Other people say, well, this is the verse that says we have to go house to house knocking on people's doors and sharing the gospel that day. I'm okay with that too. That's great. But that's not what this is talking about. This is really, really, really simple. The power of God is moving on the church. People are getting saved. People are hungry for two things. They're hungry to know God and God's word, and they're hungry to be with God's people, and they're hungry for a third thing, and that is, what, Mrs. Thompson? Food, okay? The real simple thing, this isn't like a formula for your church has to have three home cells and it has to have, you know, a door-to-door visitation. That's not the point. The point of this is your church has to be a place where people worship together, they love God together, they serve together, and they eat together. And they just spend their lives with each other. Very simple. That's what a church should be. So you tell me. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, and then I've got some little points to give you. But you tell me, in where we live, which is Berkshire County, southern Vermont, where we live here in this little part of New England, what are some things that maybe make this a challenge for us? Because every part of the Christian life, the devil wants to fight against it, right? So I'd submit to you this morning that this aspect of hospitality and commonality among the believers, this right here is something that the devil will fight against in the church. So, what are some reasons that this may be an obstacle? What are some obstacles that keep us from this kind of thing sometimes? Anybody? I'll tell you what happens, maybe as you think about that, I'll tell you what happens sometimes is the church becomes a place people go on Sunday morning, and then they get up, and they go home. And they might come to a service, they get up, and it's just like, it's an event. It's an important event. It's an important part of their life. But they couldn't really look at Acts 2 and say, yeah, that's how I'm involved in my church right there. So what fights against that? You tell me. What fights against that? Yes, sir? I've found that to be true. And not complete broad brush statement, but I do feel that New Englanders get a bad rap for being rude in some parts of the country. But that's really not true at all. In fact, New Englanders are some of the warmest people that you'll ever meet. It just takes a while to warm up to each other, right? That's how it is. I mean, there is community. There are people that care about each other, even in the world here. But it's kind of this thing where, you know, it takes people a long time sometimes. Have you found that to be true? I mean, I've found that to be true. No, there's no doubt about it. And so in a church, it's important that, obviously, we don't want to freak out any other New Englanders, right? hey, buddy, welcome. Come on. You know, we can't do that. That'll people be like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. But at the same time, it's a problem if people are, you see people over again for a month or longer, and there's no connection that happens. That can happen. What else? Somebody else had hands raised. I suck up. Yes. So food is actually a something that brings people together. That's true. That's true. Well, sometimes there's truth in that. People are of modest means, and they can't. So can we take that thought right there and just put it on the shelf and come back to it for a minute, because that's really important. I'm gonna put that right there. So everybody remind me that there's something on the shelf over here, because I'll forget that. Okay, Frank. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there are things that, I don't want the point of this at all to be like, because we've all seen things in different places, and they're good, and they're different. So the point wouldn't be, hey, churches do this over here, churches do that, so we need to do this. The point would be that in our context, in our culture, where we live, we need to be a people given to hospitality. We need to be a people that are looking for opportunities to be hospitable and welcoming others. The church is called to be the family of God, right? And so it's important that we behave that way, and we have a mutual responsibility toward that. So, getting back toward this thing on the shelf over here, let me ask you this. We're going to talk about hospitality, and if you were here back in the fall when I did this lesson on that Wednesday night, you might remember this. I think about, and I read this in an article once, and it was actually written by a pastor's wife, and it was very, very helpful. But she talked about the difference between having an attitude of hospitality and being an entertainer. How many of you have entertained guests in your home? You've had a party or something, okay? A lot of times, people confuse Christian hospitality or with entertainment. Maybe you don't know what I mean by that, and maybe we should explain it a little more. Who thinks they know what I mean by that a little bit? Like, what would you see as a difference as opposed to entertaining and being hospitable? Yeah, and often, how many of you ladies have planned a party before? Or men? I mean, you've planned a party. And how many of you have been really stressed out doing so? Let's see. How many? Okay? In Russ' head. Okay. Stressful. Because there's a desire to please, right? Sometimes there's a desire to impress, right? There's a desire to say, well, I couldn't have anyone in my home because what would I give them, right? What would I, you know, how would I do it? And I'm not, or I don't have as nice of a home as the Joneses, right? You see what I'm saying? Or I can't, but when we talk about Christian hospitality, we're not talking about throwing a party. We're not talking about, hospitality at its core literally means the sharing of one's what? Hospitality. Sharing of your what? Your home. To say, we're brothers in Christ. Do you remember what it says here? And they had all things in what? In common. This is what the Lord has blessed me with. In a spiritual sense, not a literal sense, but in a spiritual sense, then, if the Lord has blessed me with this, and you're my brother, you're my sister, you're my fellow church member, then this blessing is not just for me to enjoy, but this is for you. And to share it. And the opening of one's home is always, in every culture, and it happens differently in other places, but the opening of one's home is a powerful gesture of friendship. And there's a difference between, listen, when you're friends with someone, you can go over and you can have spaghetti and meatballs, and that's it. And it's a good experience. You don't need hors d'oeuvres and salad with fruit in it. Who likes that anyway, okay? You don't need all of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying a lot of people are hampered because of the over expectations that they might have. You have, yeah.
Right.
Wow. Right. Thank you for sharing that. So if you did not, did everybody hear that? Not really. So, and for the recording, when she was young, there was in the church that Wendy was part of, they had a ladies' Bible study that met in someone's home regularly, and it was really, really wonderful. But at one point, some of the ladies began bringing out their fine china, and it intimidated others who did not necessarily want to be a part of it because they couldn't have anyone in their home because they didn't have any china. So these are things that sometimes can hinder that kind of a thing. But we have to be, but through time spent with one another, we have to be, realize what our purpose is. What is the point of Christian hospitality? It's to help one another grow in our life of discipleship. I've been in people's homes and thinking particularly of someone that doesn't come to the church here any longer, so it's a long time ago. I was in their home for a meal, and the place was kind of dirty. Okay, and the cat walked on the counter, and I was just not really excited about the food I was eating. But you know what? I appreciated that they opened their home to my family, and that they were willing to share of their what little that they had with us. And I appreciated that, and I went cheerfully, and chuckle about it sometimes. And no, of course that is not good and people shouldn't do that, but you understand the point that I'm making. That's an extreme. Anybody else, something on that idea? Yeah. There you go. There you go. Sometimes simple is the best. So I would just encourage you to think this way. And we got to move on. I got to give you a few simple points. But I'm just hoping to spark a thought in your mind today. And that is, when people, especially in a culture where a lot of people aren't Christians, a lot of times when people come to know the Lord, their social life changes drastically. Drastically. Because the friends, and I'm not saying they just dump all their friends from their old life. I'm not saying that. But what happens is their friends, they may be involved in a very heavy drinking kind of a culture. And their friends, they go out. That's what they would all do. Sometimes life changes for people. And sometimes their family doesn't completely understand what it means to be a Christian. Their friends don't. And the church really has to become a second family for some people. And it's very important for those of us that, in fact, I spoke with someone recently who was talking about, and they've come to our church for a little while, and they were talking about basically how hungry they were for Christian friends and Christian fellowship. So it's so important for us to take that responsibility and to see people and say, hey, how can I, and I'll tell you the easiest way. You're like, boy, I'm just not ready to, I just couldn't go up to somebody and invite them to my house. I'm just not there yet. Fine. Okay. Let's just take next steps. The simplest thing you could do is don't run out when service is over. Stick around. Talk. Meet somebody. Maybe say hi to somebody you don't know. It might be a little awkward. That's okay. It's a first step in being a welcoming and a warm people. Come early. Stay a little bit later. Have an extra cup of coffee. And just take that next step. I found in not just our church, but in this region of the country, a lot of our churches are very friendly on your first visit, very friendly on your second visit, but then you come 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, and it's like, oh, there's those people I was really proud of, but I don't know who they are and what happened. How many know what I'm talking about now? And where then there's this, like super friendly at first, and then there's this like a shell that's got to be broken through. I just tell you that not to scold, but to make you aware and to make for us all to think about that and make it a regular, just a regular thought. Who can I be hospitable to? And no, maybe you're not ready to have someone in your home this week. Maybe that's next month. But who can you say, hey, I need to reach out to this person, make them feel loved, make them feel wanted, make them feel a part. It's important. Okay, let me give you a couple things to write down in the 5 minutes I have left. And we're going to notice this here, because I don't want to make this a two-part lesson. I just want to give it to you, and you can think about it. First thing, jot down, hospitality has been the practice of the church from the very beginning. That's the first observation from this passage. The very first day of the church, the very first weeks of the church, hospitality was a major, major part of what went on in the church. By the way, if you'd say, you know, I'd like to see more of this in our church, and you've got an idea, come. Talk to myself. Talk to my dad. We can find ways to be more hospitable. We want to do that if it works with the flow of our ministry here. But it was the practice of the church from the beginning. Now, secondly, I want you to see this. Look at verse number 42, okay? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So, hospitality is the practice of the church from the beginning, but secondly, it provides a physical context for spiritual growth. A physical context for spiritual growth. In other words, people, they continued in doctrine, but a lot of that happened because they just spent time together. I believe that it became the table conversation at these meals and the breaking of bread every day. This is what they did. Thirdly, and I'm going fast through all of this. Thirdly, I want you to notice this. Look down at verse number 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And they that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and good, parted them to every man as they had need. Thirdly, it reminds us, time spent together, hospitality reminds us of our equality in Christ. Reminds us of our equality in Christ. And this is the beauty of it. In the world, people of a certain social class spend time together. Right? And people of another social class spend time together. But in the church, all that gets mixed up. All that gets mixed up. And hospitality reminds us that you may have much, I may have little, but we have equality in Christ. And that is a physical, visible manifestation of that. I know I'm going through these quickly, but I hope that you're jotting them down somehow so you can think about them a little bit more. Fourthly, based on this same verse, not only does it remind us of our equality in Christ, but it brings awareness of the needs of others. I've heard many stories of someone bringing a bag of groceries to a brother or sister in need. You don't know that if you're not spending time with people. You don't know what their needs are. You don't know where they're at if they're just the person that sits in pew number 3, middle section. You don't know those things. But hospitality, time spent together, teaches you, yes, that we're equal, but then it brings awareness to the needs of others. Fifthly, let's read on. Fifthly, verse number 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with what? Gladness and singleness of heart. Hospitality is a source of joy and unity. It's a source of joy and unity. You go to a happy church? It's a church where the people spend time with one another. It's a church where people are together. Finally, number 6. They continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now look at verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with who? Who's that? That's a watching world. That is a watching world. They had sixthly and finally, hospitality is a testimony to the world. It's a testimony to the world. You see, what happened is, as people looked at that church that was meeting in the temple and meeting in house to house, they maybe didn't join up with them right away. They maybe didn't, you know, forsake their tradition and get saved right then and there. But they said, wow, those are a happy, joyful, unified people. Those people seem really nice. I'm afraid that not you, perhaps, but in the world, as many people look at Christians, they say, boy, those are kind of judgmental people. Boy, those are kind of angry people. Now, yes, we fight for truth and doctrine and all of that. But they should say, it should almost be like they say, wow, those people are so nice. Those people are so loving. Those people are so caring. I just can't understand why they have a problem with homosexuality. You see the difference? It's not that we give up our, because the world's cultures are just, the world's morals, I meant to say, the world's morals are all turned upside down. So they're like, of course, those angry Christians, and they're against this and they're against that. By our testimony, and you can't help it all, but oh to God that by our testimony we would be such a friendly, such a loving, such a caring people that people would scratch their heads and say, but they're just so nice. I can't understand why they're against this and why they're against that. And then we win them to Christ. You see what I mean by the difference? And that's not going to, you can't do that every time, I understand. But they had favor with all the people. Jesus said that they may, that by this shall all men know you are my disciples, that ye have love one to another. And when a church has the power of God moving and the preaching and the evangelism, but then that relational discipleship, I'm using the word hospitality, then verse number 47, having praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. That's the kind of church that God wants to build. That's the kind of church that God wants to send people to and see it grow and see it strengthened. And we can have a part. First of all, last week, by just simply having compassion on people. And secondly, taking the extra step. Taking the extra step and being involved in the lives of our brothers and our sisters in Christ. The importance of hospitality. Next week, I'm going to build on that, and I'd like to talk to you about the importance of Christian friendship and some of the elements of it. But it's got to begin with a hospitable and an open heart, and then from that hospitality, friendships will blossom. Yes, ma'am. For the early church, their social and familial ties when they came to know Christ were broken. I mean, they were cast out of their sometimes their jobs, their unions, their families. Even today, if an Orthodox Jew converts to Christianity, their family has a funeral service for them. And so the church has to become the family of God, as it's been called to be. And so that's where it builds. First, we take the step of hospitality, and we establish friendships. Now, last thing, and I know we've gone long, last thing I want to say, some of us, myself included, have been burned by Christian friends. And you've got stories of that, and I've got stories of that. There are people that walked with God that were our good friends, and they are no more. But that can't stop us from being the people of God today that He's called us to be, because He's got more planned for us. And the devil would like nothing more than to discourage us in those areas. Anyway, that's discipleship. That's taking Christianity and making it personal in our everyday life. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you and we thank you that you've given us a church. I pray that you'd strengthen it and that you'd make us a people who love you and love one another. Please bless our worship time this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.